My father worked for the National Bank, and when I was six, the whole family upped stumps and moved to the UK. So we had a lovely childhood in rural England. Every summer holiday there were camping trips to Europe, of course, making the most of the time that we'd be there. And I can distinctly remember waiting for a ferry somewhere in Denmark and being absolutely gobsmacked looking in this shop window at Scandinavian jewellery and having this kind of Sartori moment that, my gosh, people actually make this stuff. My formal training actually started when I was 17 in Melbourne, where we were living, and I was apprenticed to Laszlo Puzsar, and he was a high-profile diamond jeweller in Melbourne. And his policy was to release apprentices to study part-time at gold and silversmithing program at RMIT. So the insights gained from that sort of cross-sector training have characterised my practice ever since. When I started out, I actually wrote a manifesto, which is pretty philosophical. I think I wanted to articulate this sense that design is also a service industry. That's the core of my practice, that I work in response to a brief. Negotiating the license to interpret that brief is where the artist plays the role, I think. I'm very much a studio jeweller, and I describe my practice as jeweller to the lost. The studio produces commission work, bespoke jewellery, a contemporary product range of jewellery, large-scale public art, small sculptures, architectural detailing. Anywhere that metal smithing goes, I guess we can go there. The core of my practice being commission, collaborative work, connects me really closely to people. They'll come in and they'll tell me a story, and in a way they're looking for someone to interpret something of importance for them in an object. I do get invited into private lives. Working from home and having a home studio affords me a lot of privacy in my work as well. But wearing jewellery has a public outcome, so I really enjoy that sort of barrier, or that fine permeable barrier between public and private. I've also used that theme in my larger scale work, drawing on the architectural detailing that's common in early Queensland homes. They commonly use lattice or screening to shelter you from the harsh sunlight. And that breakup of light and that sort of barrier and all of its symbolic implications, I think, is a beautiful motif. I think a lot of my inspiration comes from the clients and the people that come in, and the values that they place on this work that they want me to make. Marketing, I'm hugely lucky to have my husband working in the business, and he has a lifetime's career as a marketing and creative director. He is a serious blogger, so he writes up just about every breath we take in the studio. Of course, money is important, and money is always the symbol of a successful exchange, but certainly not the driver to my practice. There is always a challenge to stay excited about your practice when you've been working in a field for so long. A good day is when you wake up thinking about something that you really like to make. I can sense now, just where I'm at in my life, some of my ambitions are shifting a little. I'm really enjoying my studio practice. I'm less interested in striving to exhibit further afield. I'm more and more interested in local stories and my place in this local community. Knowing that people find a value in the work that I do and getting feedback from them is probably one of the high points. But also getting lost in making something, that's a great pleasure. I'm sure I'm not unusual, but it's always the next thing. The next thing that you're going to make is going to be the best.